All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus 21. I'm always amazed at the Lord's timing, and this is today's another example. I started going through Romans because I knew we would come to the law in Exodus, and I wanted us to see what Paul had to say about the law in Romans as we went through the law in Exodus. And so this will be good today. We'll learn how to use the law lawfully, looking here at Exodus, and then we'll go to Romans 7 in the second message, and we'll hear what Paul says about a regenerated believer concerning the law. Exodus 21, verse 15 says, "And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death." Verse 17, "And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Now, God has very strict laws concerning parents. Very strict. The only other relationship that God puts this kind of honor on is the relationship of a husband and a wife. The marriage between a husband and a wife pictures our Lord Jesus Christ better than any other. But this relationship between a father and a son pictures the relationship between God the Father and all of His children. And the mother in Scripture is called the church. So the mother is a picture of the church. And it's through the church that God the Father begets His children. And so Scripture refers to the church as the mother. Galatians 4:26, Paul speaking of the church, says Jerusalem, that's the church, Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. In Isaiah 66, Paul spoke of the church travailing and bringing forth. And it says, it tells us, "Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, be glad with her, all ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that you may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolations, that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, I extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck, you shall be borne upon her sides and dandled upon her knees as one whom his mother comforteth. So will I comfort you." This is the church is pictured as a mother bouncing her little child on her knees and breastfeeding her little child. And that's the gospel is called the sincere milk of the word. So the church is the mother. God is our father. He's the father. A few weeks ago, I preached, I preached from Proverbs 1:8, and I wrote an article on it where Solomon said, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." And the real picture there is, forsake not the gospel of God your Father, which has been delivered to you through your mother, the church. And that's the real application there. So the true church is not like, there's another mother too called the mother of harlots. That's the false church preaching a lie. And the true mother is not like that church. But we don't deny that the church is a mother just because there is a mother of harlots. The scriptures teaches us the church is the mother. So that's why this law is important. Another reason this law is important is because it applies to everybody in power that God has put in authority. It doesn't apply just to father and mother. It applies to civil rulers and civil leaders and police officers and everybody God has put in authority. And we're told in Romans 13, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. There's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. If we dishonor anyone in authority that God's put in power, we're dishonoring God, the Father. So, the law of father and mother is the first law that we have in the Scripture that has a promise connected with it. Look at Exodus 20 and verse 12. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So it's called the first law with promise. Now that land of Canaan that God gave Israel, we know that pictures heaven. It's a picture of God giving us his children, his elect, heaven. The true promised land. But then we also see in our text there's a penalty for breaking this law. And that's back in Exodus 21 and verse 15. It says, he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. Verse 17, he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Now you know that this means that even if a child has thought about dishonoring father or mother, just the thought entered into our heart, or just the thought entered into our heart of dishonoring somebody in authority, then we've broken this law and we've broken the whole law of God. The whole law of God. God looks on the heart, remember. It's not just the outward, it's the heart. It's the nature God's looking on. That's what the law applies to. So let's look at this now and use it as we should use the law and see what we learn from it. Now, first of all, when God gave this law, when he gave the law here, we're at Horeb right here, and he's giving the law at Mount Sinai. When God gave this law, all men and women had already broken it when God gave it. We were already guilty of it when God gave it. Now, go back to the garden. And in the garden, there was God the Father, and there was Adam. There was God the Father and his son, Adam. And he gave Adam one law in that garden. He said, of all the trees in the garden, you can freely eat. But there's one tree in the midst of the knowledge of good and evil, and thou shalt not eat of that tree. And God said, and in the day you do eat of that tree, you shall surely die. And what God was saying to Adam was, honor thy father. Honor thy father, that thy days may be long upon the land that I've given you. That's what he was telling him. But if you disobey me, you shall surely die. That was a covenant of works. That was a legal covenant. If you obey me, you'll live. If you disobey me, you'll die. And Adam disobeyed. He dishonored the father. And he broke this law of parents. He dishonored his father when he broke that law. And when he broke that law, all Adam's sons and daughters broke that law. And so we all became guilty in Adam. So when God gave this law at Horeb, we were already guilty of it. Men like to say, well, God wouldn't have given a law we couldn't obey. Yes, he would, and he did. He gave us a law we were already guilty of. Why? Romans 5 says the law entered that the offense might abound. That offense in the garden. God is showing us just how I just applied this law of parents to that sin in the garden. You can apply all 10 commandments to that sin in the garden. Because all 10 commandments were broken. That was covetousness. That was Adam coveting to have his way and coveting to have his honor and his glory apart from God. That was him stealing from God. That was him committing spiritual adultery. That was him making himself an idol god. He broke the whole law of God in the garden. He dishonored his father. And we all broke it in Adam. Every one of us did. Now, when he gave this law, he told mothers and fathers to teach our children this law. and to teach what we had learned or what they had learned at Horeb. And this is what he said in Deuteronomy 4:9. He said, "You teach your sons and you teach your sons' sons the day that you stood before the Lord God in Horeb." Teach them about what happened the day you stood before the Lord God in Horeb. He said, "The mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven with darkness and clouds and thick darkness." And do you remember what we saw? They ran back. They had washed themselves and tried to sanctify themselves and prepare themselves to meet God. And when they heard God speak and they saw the mountain on fire and they saw God's holy character, they went back and they begged Moses, "Mediate for us. You speak to God for us on our behalf." Picture of Christ. And what did God do? He told them, "I've given you an altar now. And you're going to come to me now in the blood of a lamb. That's the only way you can come to me." And so he showed them a picture of Christ when he gave the law. And there you have a mini version of what Paul said in Galatians. The law is our schoolmaster until we're given faith in Christ. And there you have a picture of it. They beheld the law. They beheld God's holiness. And they beheld their sinfulness. And it caused them to go backwards and know that they could not meet God on their own. They had to have a mediator. And God then revealed Christ to them by revealing Christ in that altar and in that lamb. And he said, "This is how you come to me, through the blood of a lamb." And so the Lord said, "Now you teach this to your sons and daughters. You teach this." And what he's telling them is, when he's telling them to teach them these commandments, he's saying, teach them that the only way these commandments are going to be fulfilled in perfection is in the blood of a lamb. It's coming to me in Christ the Lord. Teach this to your sons and daughters. But it's important to teach sons and daughters to honor their parents from their youth up, because this is how you're going to hear the gospel. You're going to hear the gospel through the church. You're going to hear it through your mother, the church. Moses talked to the people, a picture of the church, and then the parents went home and talked to their children and taught their children this gospel. And so it's important that children learn to listen and pay attention to their parents so that they can hear what this word is saying. But at the same time, we tell our children, don't think that you're fulfilling this law, because you're not. In the heart, you've broken it. In Adam, we're guilty. And in our heart, we're dead in sin. And so we cannot keep this law. We cannot keep it. If we have just thoughts of disobeying it, we've disobeyed it. And we have. All of us have. Now, God has another son. He has another son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this son came forth to honor the Father, to honor his Father. The Son of God took flesh. He was made under the law. And the reason he came forth was to honor his Father and his mother, that his days might be long upon the land the Father gave to him. That was why he came. He came forth and he said, "Your law's in my heart, and I came to do your will, O God." And he came to do it that we might receive the adoption of sons, that his people might have the Spirit of God imparted to us, that we might be born of God and see that we're adopted of God through the blood of Christ. That's why he came. And he obeyed this law not only outwardly as he walked this earth. He obeyed this law even unto the death of the cross. You can imagine what a good child our Lord Jesus was to Mary and Joseph. He was a perfect child. We talk about our sons and daughters, and you know, we say, "Well, he's a good boy." They're not as good as that boy was. That one was perfect. He was perfect. Our children are full of sin. That one was perfect. And that's just an example of him honoring God, his father, in everything. He was honorable to all civil rulers that were in authority. But he was honorable and honored the Father even unto the death of the cross. He came to save his guilty people. And not only had he honored this law and precept, but then he put himself in the place of his guilty people so that the law would look at him and hold him accountable rather than his people. That's honoring this. That was the will of his father, and that's how he honored his father, by doing his father's will. The scripture says, "He that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Christ put himself in that place. And he paid the wages we owed. He died the death that we would have died. And he didn't pay for one sin, he paid for many. Adam just died. One sin caused him to die. It was by one offense that sin entered. The judgment was by one sin to condemnation. The free gift is of many offenses unto justification. He bore all the sins of all his people throughout all time. And brethren, he carried them all away. He carried them all away so that before God, we don't have any sin. Before God, we're dead to the law. Before God, he does not see sin at all, having ever been committed by his people. Not in our past and not in our future. There's none whatsoever. That's how he honored the Father. Now remember, the promise of God to the child that honored his father is this. Exodus 20 verse 12, he says, "That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." We're told in Philippians 2 that after our Lord Jesus honored his father, even unto the death of the cross, he was highly exalting his father by doing that. And the scripture says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, so that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he's Lord of lords and King of kings." God gave him that land. He gave him a new heaven and a new earth because Christ purchased it. He paid for it. He paid the wages that were owed to purchase that land, and the Father gave it to him. He honored the Father to the highest. He said, "I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." And that's where Christ sits today. Now, how do we perfectly establish this law? How are you and I going to establish this law perfectly? How do sinners like us honor the Father in perfection? Go to John 5. We're going to have to honor God the Father. We're going to have to honor him. How are we going to do that? In John chapter 5. Verse 22. "The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." Watch this next phrase. "That all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That's how you honor the Father and the Son, believing on Christ, trusting all the works into his hand, trusting that he alone fulfilled the law in righteousness and put away our sin, trusting it all to Christ alone. Look at John chapter 6 and verse 28. "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Our text tells us that we must honor the Father. We must honor the Father. And all who honor the Son by believing on him have honored the Father in perfection. Because Christ honored the Father in perfection. And you can go down the law and look at every single commandment, and we fulfilled every commandment in perfection because Christ fulfilled them for us in perfection. Every single one of them. And when we're given faith to believe, we're no longer under the law anymore. We're not under that legal system that Adam was under anymore. Now we're under the covenant of grace. And we're under Christ. And we're in union with Christ. Did you read the article I put in the bulletin last week about what it is to be in law to Christ? It's when you are under the law, that's a different Greek word. When it says you're under law to Christ, remember Paul said, I'm not without law, but I'm under law to Christ. That word is a different law. It means in law. E-N is a Greek word, means in law to Christ. And the picture is of the head and the body being connected. And my hand is in law to my head. My hand doesn't have an external set of rules that it needs to follow in order to stay connected to my head. My hand does what it does because my head tells it what to do. And we're in law to Christ, our head, so that we're in union with him. And we do what Christ, our head, commands us to do. You don't even have to think about it. it just comes natural in that new heart to do what Christ tells you to do. And he puts down the old man. That's what we're going to see in the second hour. He puts down the old man so that we can do what he commands us to do. Now listen, knowing Christ did all this for us, the Lord said that your days may be long upon the land that your heavenly Father gives to you. That's why Paul said we're seated with him now. He's given us that land. It's ours. It's a salvation ready to be revealed. It's ready made. It's already accomplished, ready to be revealed to his people. And God's going to see to it that all his people experience that salvation. We're going to come into that land and experience that land together. God's covenanted to do it. He cannot lie. He's promised it. And Christ's blood is the new covenant. It's in his blood. It's written in his blood. We're going to enter that new land. Now, when you have, here's the last thing. When you have been brought to see all your sin and see that you can't keep the law, and then God's revealed Christ in you and shown you how Christ came and he fulfilled the whole law for us. Now, because we're constrained by the love of Christ, now because we have an inward man that truly delights in the law of God, now we want to honor our earthly mother and father. Now you have a desire to honor those in authority in the world that you didn't have before. Because you see now we owe everything to Christ. And so I don't want to bring reproach on Christ. So I want to be honorable to my mother and father. I want to obey them. I don't want them to have to tell me two or three times and snatch me to the side and have to get on to me. I want to obey him because I want to honor Christ. And so it makes you want to do what they tell you to do. And that's the whole law, brethren. The whole law, the old covenant law now, we're not under it. We're not under it in any shape, form, or fashion. But we're in law to Christ and we're constrained by Christ. And that makes us want to walk in an honorable way, which the law never could do. All the law created because of our sin, we saw this last week with Paul, all the law ever created because of our sin, it made us desire everything the law forbid. One that was to appear outwardly righteous before men and put on a fake, phony show, while at the same time we desired all the sinful things that the law forbid inwardly. But now, having been delivered from it, now we want to walk in an honorable way. And that's what Christ works. Now that's the lawful use of the law. And I try to tell folks that say, how do you preach the law? First you tell sinners they hadn't kept it. And you shut them up to Christ. You show them that they cannot keep that law. Not before conversion, not after conversion. Then you show them Christ fulfilled it all. And we're seated with Him at God's right hand, and we're not under that law in any shape, form, or fashion. And then thirdly, by that message, Christ constrains His people in our heart to want to walk honorably before Him. You preach works. You preach law and tell sinners they can do it and urge them to do it. You'll create a bunch of self-righteous phonies. You preach Christ, shut sinners up to Christ. And He will create true, godly believers. And that's the difference between grace and works. I pray God will bless it. Let's stand together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this word. Thank You for teaching us the true use of the law and for showing us our guilt, our sin, shutting us up to Christ and making us follow Him, look to Him, trust Him. Lord, we pray You'd make us truly honor You in our lives and constrain us by Your love to always have the thought of You come into our minds anytime we are faced with our sin and faced with the thought of dishonoring You, that You would make us think on You and what You've done for us and cause us to want to honor You. Lord, we pray You meet with us today and that You would truly bless Your people. Wherever they are, wherever they're gathered, pray You'll meet with them and bless the word. Lord, we pray for our brethren who are suffering trials and that You'd comfort them and keep them, cause them to look to Christ and always be led of Him and trust Him alone. Lord, save us from the enemy. Save us from those that would try to create division and create trouble. Keep us always looking to Christ. We ask these things, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen.